Welcome back to Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Mike Dottie along with Charlie Long. And at 5:20, we'll be joined by Brad Evans from BetMGM tonight. He's our Odyssey Sports BetQL insider, giving us his takes on the college football playoffs and also the playoffs in the NFL. I know he's been holding on a long time, so we got to get him on Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line. Be trusty in the huddle with Mike and Charlie.
What's going on, man?
Happy New Year to you, man.
Hey, so I was, you know, looking and I noticed that the Saints have asked for permission to speak with Cliff Kingsbury, and I found that intriguing. Because I know his specialty is quarterbacks, and particularly young quarterbacks. I know he coached Baker Mayfield and Mahomes in college. Yep. He had Kyler Murray when he was first drafted, and the work he did with Jaden Daniels, where he'll be the presumptive offensive rookie of the year, was intriguing, especially since we have a young quarterback on our roster. And I was just wondering what your thoughts were on that.
I would have a lot of interest in Cliff. He was on a dysfunctional team out in Arizona. Man, front office there, they weren't giving him a lot of help. He's a very fertile offensive mind coach. I would want him to explain to me who he's going to hire to run his defense. And I think that will be a key for him because, you know, he's offensive side to football. Here's the crazy thing, be trusty. Somebody sent me this about a month ago. In 2004, the Saints gave Cliff Kingsbury to Buddy DiLiberto and I on a second guest show. Cliff Kingsbury was on the practice squad for the Saints that year, and he was our guest for the Saints. But, man, Cliff, he knows the passing game very well. You see what's happened out in Washington and how he's been able to use the running game. They run the football really well with the Commanders. He's going to get another shot as being a head coach. A lot of people sort of connect the dots that if Ben Johnson doesn't take the Bears job because of his tie-in with Caleb Williams at USC, that Cliff would go there. But I would want to interview him, and I want him to tell me who you're going to hire on defense. I know about your offense, and I know what you're going to do that place, but I want to figure out what you're going to do defensively. But Cliff, he had a short stint with the Saints. I think it was 04, 05, maybe a little bit. But I know 04 for sure because somebody actually sent me that picture that they took with Buddy, myself, and Cliff Kingsbury. Man, he looks a lot better today. He's aged pretty well as far as that's concerned. And he does do a good job with quarterbacks. I will say that. He does a nice job in the pitch-catch part of the game, but he has always talked about you need a running game to balance that. And you see it with the Commanders this year.
And, I mean, he's been ultra-successful with Jaden Daniels and the Commanders this year, similar to what he kind of did with Kyler Murray. I mean, the offense, no one's going to question him as a play caller or an OC, but he hasn't really had the success as a head coach. He will likely get another opportunity here. And Mike, BetOnline.ag's got the new updated odds. I remember yesterday we talked about this, that Kingsbury was initially the favorite for the Bears job, and we talked about his connection with Caleb Williams dating back to when he was a senior offensive analyst with USC last year. But now it's Ben Johnson at 1-1. We'll see kind of how that develops. It's going to change day by day, but Cliff Kingsbury is still number two there. Cliff Kingsbury also kind of up in the running for the Vegas job as well, which you imagine if Vegas trades up to get Shedeur Sanders, get kind of an offensive-minded guy to help him along early on.
You can see the connected dots here.
Yes.
And, you know, I thought if the Titans made a move at head coach, which they haven't, Brian Callahan is still the head coach there. My first thought was that's where maybe Cliff would go because you got the first pick in the draft.
I think, and you know, the one and dones have already been kind of crazy this year with Jerod Mayo and obviously Antonio Pierce. But if you're the Titans, I mean, what's really the point to keeping Callahan?
No idea.
My question is that, you know, the timeline, and we talked about this yesterday, Mike, the timeline for the Titans has been very strange where, you know, you move on from Vrabel after you had already moved on from John Robinson and brought in Rand Carthon, but then you move on from Rand Carthon a year after you move on from Vrabel. It's just, what were you thinking? What was the plan here? So now you have Callahan in, but you're having to add a new GM as well. It's just a mess in Tennessee.
Yeah, it is.
And so,
you know. So You know what? And you know, Amy Sistrunk is in charge there, Bud Adams' daughter, and it's her call here on what she wants to do. And listen, I've said this many times: it's hard to tell a billionaire what to do, and who's got their ear telling them what to do. It's hard to convince them of something if they don't want to listen. You know, because they do have that money and they do have a lot of power with it. Charlie, what's interesting was coming out of Chicago, because I always thought there were two college coaches that would get long looks from the NFL if they wanted NFL jobs. One is Dan Lanning at Oregon. I think Dan would be a guy, if he wanted a job, he could get one.
Can I guess the second one?
Matt Campbell.
Oh.
From Iowa State.
Okay, never mind.
Brad Biggs. He's covered the Bears for the Chicago Tribune. It's well over 20 years. He is reporting that Iowa State coach Matt Campbell is expected to interview for the Chicago Bears job.
Matt Campbell, huh?
And a lot of people in this league really think a lot of Matt Campbell as a coach. They think that he could translate into being a very good pro coach.
So this was a quote from Ryan Poles earlier, Mike. He said, quote, "There's going to be some names that you don't expect that are going to surprise you, because we've been digging deeper than we ever have before on the Bears head coaching search." So yes, Ben Johnson's currently the lead candidate, but we'll see kind of what they do, because the Bears could potentially throw a curveball here. And Kyle Brandt of he does Good Morning Football had posted, "I'm telling you, they're going to hire someone surprising," quote unquote surprising.
That Matt Campbell is not the name right off the bat you would think of. But man, Matt, and I've got to meet him a few times. I can't say I know him, but boy, he's a sharp guy, very intelligent coach, and can really get his point across well. And he's winning at Iowa State.
Yeah. Okay. No, he's done a great job there.
I think he's done a fantastic job there, and he may, if he wants it, he may well be in line for an NFL head coaching job.
Yeah, Dan Lanning is the most obvious one to potentially make the
and
jump from college.
And he has talked about it, Charlie. I'm telling you.
And he's young.
And he's talked about it to different people that I know, that I would like to coach in the NFL one day. He didn't say today, but one day he wants to coach in the NFL.
Yeah, man, he had a great year with that Oregon team that kind of fumbled in the playoffs. So to
and
speak,
they got caught in the buzz.
They got smoked by Ohio State in the Rose Bowl
this past week. They couldn't get their hand away from the blade quick enough. Be Trusty, thanks for the call. But I do think Cliff Kingsbury is going to get another shot. I do believe that. We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870. And Brad Evans from BetMGM tonight will join us, talking about all the games this coming weekend and also tomorrow and Friday in college football. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike DeTay along with Charlie Long in studio, and on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line is the host of BetMGM Tonight and Odyssey Sports BetQL Insider, Brad Evans. BetQL Insider calls are presented by BetMGM. Go check out all of the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. Also, be sure to listen to the BetMGM Tonight podcast for more analysis. Just search BetMGM Tonight wherever you find your podcast. Brad, great to hear your voice again. Welcome to WWL.
Hola, amigos. Thanks for having me back.
Brad, we'll get to it real quick. The college football world, man, Notre Dame, Penn State in the Orange Bowl. Man, a lot of people here are saying, you know what the best bet is? Take the under. Because these defenses are really good. Your thoughts on Notre Dame, Penn State, and man, it's basically what a pick 'em game now with Penn State.
It's actually 1.5 currently. Okay. Notre Dame is laying that chalk at BetMGM. The total has come down. I grabbed it immediately because I agree with the consensus. I bet heavily in the under at 46.5. It's down at 44.5, and I still would take the under. I think this game is going to be somewhere in the teens, probably well below 20, maybe for both teams. They're the bitter end. Just through the upstanding defenses that both possess. Notre Dame entering the game on the season, number 2 in EPA per play defense, and Penn State at number 7 in that category. So I think the Fighting Irish are going to squeak this thing out. I have them in the national title. I have them win the whole shebang at 8-1 odds before the playoffs kicked it off. So I got to stick to my guns on that fearless forecast. But
Brad, I do remember you telling me that a couple weeks back. I do remember that you picked Notre Dame to win it all.
Well, we'll see if it actually comes to fruition. But, you know, we're halfway there. I got two more steps to go. But, yeah, like Notre Dame to win this thing, march on the national title game, and I very much do side with Joe Public, betting heavily there on the under.
Ohio State, Texas, man, and just visually, you saw what Ohio State's done the last couple games. It's like, man, I thought this line would be a lot higher, Brad. Man, yeah. Texas has been schizophrenic all over the board. Now, you might catch them. They play well. Man, I just want to see how Texas guards Amika Buga and, man, Jeremiah Smith. And I think it all boils down to Will Howard. It all is going to boil down to Will and how he plays, but he's got a couple receivers, and that running game is really smoking for the Buckeyes.
Yeah, indeed. Look, and I'm going to lay it with Ohio State. I know it's up to 6 now. It opened at -5.5, and I'm still not deterred by the half of a point movement. They are bar none the most talented team, probably remaining in the entire college football playoff field. They're number one on the season EPA per play offense, and number one as well in EPA per play defense. You look at Texas, Ewers can be touch and go at times. And you're right about Will Howard. If he plays anywhere near what he showed in the Rose Bowl against Oregon, they're going to win and probably win in convincing fashion. So I like Ohio State. I'll lay the chalk. And I also like the under. I think the total's way too high at 53.5, knowing just how stiff and stout both these defenses are. Texas, number 3 in the country in EPA per play defense, as I mentioned. Ohio State set the pace in that category.
Brad, looking to the NFL wildcard round, one of these lines that really kind of confuses me a little bit is just because divisional rivals, the Steelers at the Ravens, which will be Saturday night on Amazon, 9.5-point favorites for Baltimore at home in this game. And just looking at their matchups earlier this year, they split. The Steelers won by 2, and then the Ravens won by 17. And I think it's a little bit, the public is kind of looking at the Steelers entering this game on a 4-game losing skid. The Ravens are kind of flying high on a 4-game winning streak.
That's why the line is what it is.
The line just feels a little bit high, though, Brad. I'm not sure. Can you kind of convince me to take the Ravens in this one?
Yeah, I can convince you to take the Ravens. They're born a better team. Period, end of story. I mean, you look at Baltimore and some of the advanced data that's out there. The biggest eyesore they had for the first, 10 weeks of the season was on the back end defensively. They entered this matchup over the last 6 weeks, number 2 in the NFL in drop-back EPA pass defense. So, they're a team that is definitely tied to screws, right at the ship on the back end, and it has a lot to do with the fact that they've shifted Marlon Humphrey out of the slot, working him more outside. And, that simple alteration has really unlocked the potential of the secondary. You know how stiff and stout that front line is. They can really bottle up the run, and that is a calling card right now. The Pittsburgh Steelers, that 1-2 punch, and Najee Harris and Jaylen Warren. But, what version of Russell Wilson are we going to get? Will George Pickens actually, apply some stick in the hands and catch some of the passes thrown in his general direction after the 3 drops that in the last game? And you look at how broken the Steelers are offensively, number 30 in EPA per play offense over the last 5 weeks. There's one direction and one direction to go, and that is Baltimore laying the chalk. I think they're going to win by 15 or more.
One of the games that's, I think, for me the most interesting, Commanders Bucks.
Oh, yeah.
And, man, because you see that Jaden is an unbelievable talent, but the one thing I see with the Bucks, they don't put a lot of pressure on the quarterback. I know that there's been a really big hit on home teams in this round of the playoffs. People bet a lot on the home teams in the first round. Yep. But Commanders, Bucks, that might be a thing I got to think a lot about, because I think if there's a team that could win it on the road, I think it's Washington.
Yeah, well, look, this is a coin flip game. It really is. Now, I like Tampa because of a lot of the similar reasons. I talked about the Baltimore secondary and how they've really tightened up on the back end defensively. That was a team that was extremely susceptible to big pass plays and chunk gains through the vertical attack of the opposition earlier this season. But Tampa, over the last 5 weeks, they're number 4 in the NFL in EPA per play defense, and they're also top five in dropback EPA defense. So, you know, that eyesore has been healed, so to speak. You got Vita Vea up front, who just is a man-eater there in the trenches. I like the construct defensively and what they are trotting out right now. And then offensively, it's been absolute juggernaut. I mean, Baker Mayfield, Baker, the touchdown maker, has been throwing frozen ropes all over the field. A lot of those going to Jalen McMillan, who scored a touchdown now in five straight games. My cousin, Mike Evans, still getting it done. $3 million richer as well, based on the threshold that he hits last week. Bucky Irving has brought an entire new wrinkle to the offense, getting it done on the ground and also spectacular in the checkdown game. I think Tampa's has got too many weapons. I think Washington's going to compete, but I'll take the Buccaneers and lay the three.
Packers, Eagles, and, you know, I thought early in the season, it certainly the Lions were clear-cut, the most talented team in the National Football League, but injuries have sort of whittled them down a little bit. I think Eagles could make a case from a talent standpoint. Now, here's the negative with that. They got Nick Sirianni as head coach. You trust him in these type situations. So your thoughts, Eagles, Packers, and the Packers are kind of coming into this game a little bit beat up.
Yeah, they are, and I think a lot of people are gravitating to that narrative and laying some heavy action right now on Philadelphia, minus just a 4.5. But I see this game being a 3 to 4 point margin.
Yeah,
I think Captain Hook is going to come into the equation here. So if I had a lean, it's going to be on Green Bay plus the 4.5. Now, Saquon is an absolute master blaster right now in the trenches. Get it done and flexing those sexy quads all over the field. You know, I like the over on his rush yards prop, which is set at 100.5. I think he's going to run for a minimum 110, 115, probably salting the clock away late. But I think Green Bay is going to stay within striking distance. They're going to find a way to cover in this game. So as an ardent Bears supporter, I should hate the Packers and fade the living daylights out of them. But speaking objectively, I'm back in Green Bay plus the 4.5.
And then looking at the final game of Wild Card Weekend here, Brad, the pick'em game between the Vikings and the Rams, it's literally a 1-point spread for Minnesota on the road in this matchup. You know, they played on, I think, a Thursday night game earlier on in the season. It's when LA was still kind of in the dumps, and that win for LA started to kind of turn their season around. Now, you know, Minnesota still had a fantastic year. They fell short of the one seed by one game in the regular season finale. What's your thoughts on this matchup? Do you have a side that you're playing? Or are you looking at the over-under set at 48, anything like that?
Yeah, a lot. I love the Rammies on this one. I'm going to take them on the plus one. I think this line could actually sway the other direction by kickoff. I think the Rams could be favored by a point and a half when it's all said and done. Pretty balanced team, L.A. right now. Now, the back end defensively, that is an area of concern, especially when you're going against that dynamic passing attack, of course, spearheaded by the unreal Justin Jefferson. But Jordan Addison has had his moments. Jalen Naylor has really come on strong here last couple of weeks. They got a lot of dudes. TJ Hockenson as well. And catch a ton of passes and really work that secondary down the field. But that same story applies to the L.A. Rams. And the Vikings entering the week on the season, they've given up the second most yards to the wide receiver position. And you get that dynamic duo of Puka Nacua and also Cooper Kupp. I think at a minimum, Nacua is going to crush the over on his 87.5 receiving yards prop. It's my favorite prop in this game. And I do feel the Rams will survive in advance, win by probably a field goal boot in the end. I don't feel strong either side ledger there on the total. But, yeah, give me L.A. Plus the one, and definitely give the over on Nacua receiving yards.
Brad, thanks so much for joining us tonight. Always appreciate your insights, and you break it down super. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, Brad.
Muchas gracias, amigos. Enjoy the action.
Thank you, Brad. That was the host of BetMGM Tonight and Odyssey Sports. BetQL Insider Brad Evans. BetQL Insider calls are presented by BetMGM. Go check out all of the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. We come back, pick six, myself along with Charlie Long, Steve Geller. I think Hebert got his picks in. So
he's got them in.
We'll be back with all those picks right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. We're back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870. Mike Dettey along with Steve Geller, Charlie Long, and it's our pick six segment. So, Charlie, I'm going to throw it to you.
Last week is incomplete, gentlemen. We still have the two college football playoff matchups, the Orange Bowl and the Cotton Bowl, to be decided tomorrow and Friday. However, our NFL picks, no bueno. No bueno, gentlemen. I went 1-3 in NFL picks. The Lions saved me, thankfully. Mike, 0-4. Bobby, 0-4. Steve, 1-3. Woof.
Yikes.
Yeah, no, the Cincinnati Bengals, 2.5. The half point really hooked us.
I'll be damned.
The Falcons obviously did not work out. Man, that defense for Atlanta is pooty. The Buccaneers did not work out either. The Lions saved me and Steve in the end. The Vikings did not save you or Bobby, Mike. So we still have to figure out what's going to happen. Just rehashing the Orange Bowl picks. I have Notre Dame. Mike, you have Notre Dame. Bobby's got Penn State. Steve, you got Notre Dame as well. And for the Cotton Bowl on Friday, all of us have Ohio State, -6, which makes sense. They look like the best team in college football. So we're going to do... I don't have the records complete just yet because we'll wait on those two games, but we'll do the NFL wildcard round picks right now, guys. I got Bobby's picks ready to go. We're going to start off, go chronological order, starting Saturday, January 11th. In the AFC, the 5-seeded Chargers, 2.5-point favorites at the 4-seeded Texans. That line's moved up to 3, but when I did this, it was 2.5, so we do have the half point to go with. Bobby's got the Chargers, and I agree with him. What do you guys got?
Me too. Chargers.
Yeah, I'm going with the Bolts as well, gentlemen. That's not a good sign here. Just don't like the way the Texans really have been playing this entire season. They did make the postseason, obviously, but haven't been impressed with what we've been seeing, and I just like the way Harbaugh's got these Chargers rolling right now. So give me Herbert and the Bolts.
And it doesn't really matter because if we get a push, I give us a win. But the half point is very nice to work with here. If the Chargers win by 3, then that win's clean. Moving on, guys. This was the game that I asked Brad Evans about. I was a little bit intrigued by it. The Steelers, the 6-seed in the AFC at the 3-seeded Ravens, also Saturday night. Baltimore, 9.5-point favorites at home over their divisional rival. Bobby's got the Steelers, and I think I agree with him. I know the Ravens beat the Steelers team by 17 points just a couple weeks back. The Steelers are on a 4-game losing streak entering the postseason. But something tells me these divisional grudge matches in the postseason, I'll go with the underdog Steelers. I'm not going to pick them to win outright. But this is maybe a touchdown, if not a field goal type of game. I don't think it's a 10-point game.
I'll go with the Ravens. I just think that, man, I don't know about the Steelers offensively. And if they get Derrick Henry cranking, it'd be a long day. I've got to swallow this one hard, but I'm going to go with Baltimore.
It's a tough one.
Yeah, I'm with Mike as well. I don't like that 9.5. But to me, the Ravens are the far superior squad over the Steelers. And yeah, run, Derek, run. I think they end up getting a double-digit victory. Yeah,
George Pickens looked bad in that finale against Cincinnati, guys. Like, they have to get him going if they want any shot to keep this game close. So, but I will take the Steelers in this one. I don't feel great about it, but I wouldn't feel great about taking the Ravens either. This is the weirdest line of the week for me by far. Moving on, guys, we got a Sunday triple header starting with the 7-seeded Broncos in the AFC at the 2-seeded Bills. This line's also moved, but currently we have the Bills -8.5 in Buffalo. Bobby's got the Bills covering that 8.5-point spread. What you got?
Yeah,
Bills.
I'm going Buffalo, too. I think they roll the Denver Broncos in this one.
They're playing with house money, though, Denver. They are playing with house money now. And you got Sean, who's been there, done that.
I want to take the Broncos. I really do.
Okay, so that's who you take?
I'll take the Broncos.
And Bo Nix, you trust.
And Bo Nix, I trust. And Sean Payton, I trust. And then that Broncos defense, I trust. Give me the Broncos to keep this relatively close. Maybe the Bills kind of push it away late, which could very well happen.
You know what I'm scared of for the Broncos?
Getting hit early?
They get hit early with the tsunami.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's fair. But I think 8.5 points, it's a little bit too much. I think a lot of these games are going to be very close, which I'm looking forward to this weekend. Broncos +8.5. I'll make that play, and I'll probably lose, but we'll see what happens. Up next, guys, we got the NFC matchups. The 7-seeded Packers at the 2-seeded Eagles, Philadelphia, 4.5-point favorites.
I'm going to take the Packers. I think the Eagles win. But I look at this game, I'm similar to Brad. I think this may be a field goal game. Man, do you trust Nick Sirianni?
Nope.
Okay, Steve, you trust him more than anybody because you're an Eagles fan. But, man, and I think the Eagles are the more talented team. Right, I really definitely do. But, man, he's had a tendency to kind of try to mess things up on a real talented team.
For me, I'm going to go Philly. Just 4.5 for me. I don't like that Jordan Love is banged up. So fly, Eagles, fly, and I think they roll it home.
I'm taking the Packers as well, Mike. I'm with you on this one. I think they keep it close. And maybe, potentially, I don't want to guarantee it or by any stretch of the imagination, pull off an upset here. I will take the Packers +4.5. I think it's going to be a very fun matchup in the first round of the playoffs. Bobby's got the Eagles. I don't know if I said that. So it's a split decision here. Mike, you and I got the Packers. Bobby and Steve have the Eagles. Moving on, we have the 6-seeded Commanders at the 3-seeded Buccaneers. Tampa tough. Bay, 3-point favorites at home on Sunday Night Football, guys.
And Jade Notrus.
I'm right there
Commanders.
With you, the Commies.
Yeah, I'm leaning back and forth here, but I'm going to go with the home squad, the Buccaneers, given the 3, and I'll trust Baker Mayfield in this matchup. And Mike Evans, you know, they got a run game going there as well, too. I think Jaden will be phenomenal, but maybe the youngster, it's a little too bright for him on the playoff stage, even though he's been there, done that before. Yeah, I know. I'm like just trying to make any kind of excuse here.
I like Jaden versus that Bucs defense, guys.
They don't get a lot of pass rush.
They don't get,
saw it against the Saints.
That is, and Mike, we'll talk about it more as the NFL draft gets closer.
I'm just worried about the rusher.
Number one need on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers roster for the 2025 rusher. Draft is edge rusher.
Yeah, I'm worried about the Commanders' weapons, too.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. I got the Commies plus 3. So does Bobby. Mike, you got Commanders. And Steve, you got the Buccaneers. So you're standing alone with Tampa Bay. I am making a grave error as I'm noticing while doing this, guys. I am taking all the road teams, which is very stupid of me. But, you know, it's a little bit too late to make a change there. Finally, guys, we got Monday Night Football, the 5-seeded Vikings, 1.5-point favorites at the 4-seeded Rams.
You know what? I'm a go with McVay and the Rams. I go with the home team. The Vikings secondary, I think, is where they can protect Matt Stafford. They're going to do some business. They're going to do some business there. And, again, that first game, they had a really good game plan against Minnesota.
I think this Rams squad can cause some trouble in these playoffs. You got a coach.
I wouldn't want to play them.
No, you got a coach, quarterback that's been there, done that before. And to me, I didn't like what we saw from Sam Bradford in that last game. Sam Darnold in that last game. It kind of
looked like Sam Bradford.
Yeah, he did.
Right. So, give me the Rams here at home and getting points.
Dang, I thought I was going to get one on y'all here. I feel really good about the Rams in this game, and I'll tell you why. What you saw on Sunday Night Football, and we talked with Schlereth about this yesterday, Mike, and he made a great point. The amount of pressure that they got on Sam Darnold in that game, the Detroit Lions front, what's the strength of the Rams defense? Their pressure. Defensive front. Jared Verse has been awesome. Braden Fisk has been awesome. They got all these young pieces up front. Kobe Turner getting after the passer. Give me the Rams defense to make Sam Darnold uncomfortable in this Vikings offensive line will not be able to hold up. I'm going with the Rams, and I agree with Brad. I think by the time this comes around and we get to, you know, Monday Night Football, maybe the Rams might be favored in this game. They could flip-flop. It's kind of a pick-em right now, and it's going to end up being a pick-em. But give me the Rams in this matchup. Bobby's got the Vikings, so he's standing alone with this one. Steve, Mike, myself, we all pick the Rams.
Man, that's good. If we all end up picking the same one, you know it's trouble.
You know it's going to be a screw-up. Right. But you know what's the crazy part of that? And I watched the Rams defensively, and I saw his grandpa coach, Chris Shula. Wow. Is the defensive coordinator of the L.A. Rams. Now, he gets overshadowed because of all that, you know, McVay kind of tree on offense. But the grandson of the legendary Don Shula is running the defense for the Rams.
And I'm telling you guys, that defensive front for the Rams is for real. And just based off of what we saw when Sam Darnold got pressured by the Lions defensive front, he starts missing throws, and when he misses them, he misses high. And if he throws a couple of those lollipops up and you get picked off, give the Rams offense a couple extra possessions, you know, that Rams strength, and Brad also made this great point, the Rams strength on offense, you know, those wide receivers against that secondary of the Vikings, it feels like the matchups, despite Minnesota's fantastic 14-3 year, Kevin O'Connell's going to win Coach of the Year. I'm not taking anything away from what they've done this season. It feels like this is a bad matchup for them.
You know what it reminds me a little bit of? When Bob and I made the playoffs for the first time in 87, and they got crushed by the Vikings in that opening round of the playoffs, and the Vikings were clearly the better team. And the Saints, man, you could see once it came apart, man, it came apart quick that year.
So is Chargers-Texans the only one we have all the same?
Yes.
Yeah, because I think so.
I'm being really dumb and picking the Broncos. But in Sean, I trust. Just keep it close, Sean. That's all I'm asking. You don't need to win. I'm not expecting you to win, but just make it like a touchdown game or something.
We'll be back to finish it off here in hour number two of Sports Talk right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Finishing up here in hour number two of Sports Talk on the Big 870, I want to thank Brad Evans from BetMGM tonight. Always does a great job. At 6:30 tonight, right here on the Big 870 WWL, it'd be Pelicans pregame, and then at 7 o'clock, tip-off between the Pelicans and Portland. You can hear Graf make the call right here on the Big 870 WWL. We'll be back with another half hour of Sports Talk right after this news break.